Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, I just sent out a tweet just a few minutes ago. Statewide, phone lines are open. If you want to talk, call 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. And then I followed it up with another tweet. A couple things I'll be yapping about. A prediction about the liberal media covering the Montana legislature is already coming true. They've only been there for 1 week, and yet one of our predictions about the liberal media covering the legislature is already coming true. Surprise, surprise, surprise. And the standoff in the state Senate. Will it continue into week two? I'll be talking about that and more. But what do you want to talk about? Phone lines are open. In fact, we've already got a couple callers on the phone lines. So why not do a random start with one of your phone calls? Billy in Anaconda, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Hey, Aaron, I'm just curious. We're making predictions and everything. What's your prediction that gas prices and food prices are going to go down on January 20th, the big day?
Ooh, well, I don't know if they'll go down immediately.
Our guy promised that they'd be down on January 20th, and I'm struggling here in Anaconda. You know, and I voted for the Republicans, and I never really vote for Republicans, but I did this time, and I'm just a little scared, Aaron. I need you to assure me with something that your prediction is.
Why would you be scared? I mean, Joe Biden's national security advisor just talked about how he's leaving the world in a better place. That America is way better off. You shouldn't be afraid. You should be fearing nothing, right? Fear not,
Aaron. Hey, Aaron. Joe Biden he's not going to be president. He didn't promise lower gas prices and food prices. Trump did. And, you know, I am concerned because, you know, I feel like Trump is bought and sold by the big billionaires like Elon Musk and, you know, Bezos and all those guys. And so I just think Trump might be in the back pockets of all those guys.
So you never vote for Republicans, but you did this time finally. Why did you finally vote for Republicans this time?
Because I realized that Democrats were also bought and sold, and then, you know, I thought I'd go on a limb and vote for a Republican. Well, after some research, I should have done some research before the election, they're just as bought and sold as the Democrats. Both of them are bad news for America.
Well, look, you got to be skeptical of everybody. That's why we have the system that we do. That's why we take phone calls, is because you have to be skeptical of everybody, not just your perceived opponents, but also your friends as well. That's the system that we have. Look, you know, speaking of promises, didn't Joe Biden promise that he was going to cure cancer as president? Yeah, we remember that one. No, I think we're going to see, as President Trump talked about, a golden era of America. But there are a lot of security challenges in particular that remain, which is exactly why Trump needs to be able to get his team in place starting on day one. 1 week from today. Billy, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. We'll get to John and Kalispell next.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I'm going to call a quick audible here. John and Kalispell, stand by, because I'll get to your phone call here shortly. But we've got Monty in Huntley listening to KBUL that just called in and wants to react to what the last caller had to say about gas prices, food prices, and more. Monty, what's your thoughts? Thanks for calling in.
You bet. Last caller, when he said that he wanted to ask you if you would guarantee the prices would come down on the 20th, Trump didn't say that they would come down on the 20th. He said he would put things into motion, and thereafter prices would start coming down again. And the big one is energy. When you open up that and the price of energy falls, the price of everything falls, because it takes energy to get everything to the, you know, grocery stores and get the crops planted and everything else.
That's right. He's going to start on day one. I can't wait to see what he does on day one. And in fact, it's going to be crazy because I'll be in Washington, D.C. for day one. Great. And day two next week. I'll be there for inauguration. And then 1 week from tomorrow, we will be broadcasting live from Capitol Hill. And I think it's going to be amazing, the day one, day two work that we see, just undoing some of these stupid executive orders out of Biden, and then new work. I mean, because this guy has spent the last 4 years preparing for that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's in full control now. He's not dumb to the process. And he's Trump has got her everything lined out the way he needs to. He's a businessman. He wants success.
And look at what he did in his first 4 years. And these next 4 years, I don't think they're going to be able to undermine him in these next 4 years the way that they did in his first 4 years. And yet, look at all he still accomplished in those first 4 years.
Yeah. And he truly, you know, one thing that they can't get their brain wrapped around, he loves America. He wants America to succeed. And get the government out of your back pocket and let people, you know, help make successes occur.
And energy is so foundational to that. You're exactly right. Monty and Huntley, great phone call. Thanks for calling in. Monty's phone call reminds me of something. I was chatting with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. And Monty, thanks for the call. I was chatting with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. She's got a headline in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet this morning. And here's how I would sum it up. There's oil in them thar hills. There's more oil in them thar hills. This is a new study on the Bakken. It's the Bakken Petroleum Study. And it's out of North Dakota. And is basically saying, wow, there is even more oil than we thought before that's out there in them thar hills. And by the way, another interesting story on the energy front. Tell you what, if you're listening to KVCK right now, on or near the Fort Peck Reservation or one of our other great Northeast Montana radio stations, I've got a story on our Montana Talks website right now about a Texas oil company, Laredo Oil. According to Stock Titan, Laredo Oil is launching a significant exploratory oil drilling project, and they've acquired over 30,000 acres, apparently, of the West Fork Field near the Fort Peck Reservation to determine its viability as a potential oil-producing field. So, man, imagine if they strike liquid gold there. So anyway, that was another interesting story that ties in on that front. Okay, John in Kalispell, thanks for sticking around. What's on your mind this morning?
You bet. Well, Aaron, I was looking at some of the bills out there, and there's a representative out of Whitefish that wants to institute inclusionary zoning and, quote, affordable housing for subdivisions again. Hopefully that bill will fail, but here is where people need to read between the lines. If you're trying to do affordable housing and government has their finger in it and they tell a developer that you're going to have 10% or 15% of your lots and homes that you're selling that's going to be sold at a lesser valued price, and those buyers then purchase that, in the deed restriction, those buyers can only sell that property in the future for 10% more than what they purchased it for. So it maintains, quote, affordable for future generations. But the problem is it restricts the individual buyer from being able to move up into a better market or a larger home for their growing family. And thus, it will always keep them at a lower, non-affordable purchase of future homes. And that is what the problem is.
You know, with housing policy in general, it's it's interesting to me because really we just need more housing, right? And oftentimes you get these local city governments that try to dictate to homeowners and landowners, well, we want you to do this, but we don't want you to do that. Well, your garage has to be this far from the street. Ah. And yet at the same time, they're begging for more housing. They're trying to be very choosy about what kind of housing they get.
Well, correct. And proof is in the pudding. So, you know, the caller from Anaconda says, well, I don't know. I voted, but I don't know whether I can trust them. Well, proof is in the pudding. Just have a little bit of intelligence. Go online, verify what people are voting for and what their policies are doing. And they're supposed to, do those policies make sense?
Yeah. I tell you what, hey, hold that thought. John, if you can, I recognize the voice. I know you served many years in the Montana legislature. A couple of topics I wanted to cover this morning was, one, bias in the Capitol Reporting Bureau and how one prediction is already coming true in Helena. And then the standoff in the state Senate. I wonder if you want to give us your thoughts and weigh in. Stand by.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so a couple of topics that I want to talk about here this morning. But again, we've got phone lines open for you. We want to hear what you want to talk about as well. Sometimes it's the same topic. Sometimes it's others. 406-294-0970. Rock calling in from the middle of nowhere. Stand by. I'll get to you here in a second as well. But, yeah, John in Kalispell, I recognize the voice. It's John Sinrud, who's a former state legislator out of the Gallatin Valley, was a solid conservative in the state legislature back in the early 2000s. Is when he got his start in the legislature, if I remember correctly. All right, John, stand by. For kind of a quick overview here before I get John Sinrud's reaction to this. So if you guys were listening last week, we talked a little bit about how the Montana State Senate is in a standstill. You've got nine Republicans. They're moving forward on some things. Apparently, they've got some rules that are in place that's allowing them to have some committee meetings and move forward on some things. But by and large, they're still at a standstill unless that standstill breaks today, because nine Republicans are voting with the Democrats. And so they are blocking the rest of their caucus from moving forward with the rules for the legislative session. And all sorts of allegations are flying all across the board. But here's the way Jeff Laslaffy with the Montana Family Foundation summed up where we sit with this standstill here. He had this in his radio update earlier this morning.
As we said last week, the Republican majority in the Senate was hijacked on day one by a group of moderate Republicans led by Senator Jason Ellsworth of Hamilton, who enlisted the help of all of the Democrats to give him the votes necessary to reassign moderate Republicans to key committees. He then made the absurd assertion that he was actually helping the Republicans by adding Republican members to certain committees. In reality, he was watering down those committees to make them more moderate. As evidence, one has only to ask why the Democrats would give Ellsworth the votes he needed to make the committees more conservative.
All right. Yeah, that was part of Jeff Laslaffy's update earlier this morning. I saw Wendy McCamey, State Senator McCamey out of Great Falls. She was quoted in a Montana Public Radio piece by saying, well, you know, she felt like one of these committees was designed to undermine Governor Greg Gianforte, and she doesn't believe that the Republicans in the state Senate should undermine the governor. So that's why she was voting against some of these rules things. That was her explanation there. I've heard a number of different factors. But either way, John Sinrud, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of the type that hey, everybody's going to have, there's always going to be this push and pull. There's always going to be this game of tug of war, even within political parties. But I just don't like it when you have a handful of members voting against their caucus and voting with the Democrats. I mean, that's what we saw on Capitol Hill in Washington the past couple of years. And I think it undermined House Republicans. And but maybe this impasse will break soon. Anyway, your thoughts as a former legislator?
Well, in 2008, 2005, and we'll talk about this, the Montana legislature was tied in the House 50-50. And the governor was the, it was Governor Schweitzer at the time, and he, whoever the tie break goes to is the party in the executive office. So there were two Democrats that really didn't like who the majority caucus of the Democrats are going to put out, which was Dave Wansenried out of Missoula, who is hardcore leftist. I mean, I liked him, but never voted with him, period. And
yeah, nice
then
guy.
You had
yeah.
Gary Matthews. Yep, you had Gary Matthews and you had Jimmy Keene, and they came to the Republican caucus for the most part, you know, all through phone conversations and said, hey, we would like to propose Gary Matthews as Speaker of the House. So all 50 Republicans and two Democrats went and appointed Gary Matthews as Speaker of the House. And Gary was a great guy, and Jimmy Keene's a great guy, even though they're on the opposite side of the table. They're good people. And so that's how we did it then. And then we, it insured for us in our dib for Gary to be speaker is that you put and allow us to have our members on the committees that we wanted to appoint, and he agreed. So we got to put our, we got to put all of our individuals in the committees that they wanted. And we had a pretty decent session at that time, as best as could be expected. And I know that in any party, there's always opposite opinions, there's personalities, there's all kinds of things, and we don't know the specific reasons why people are doing what they're doing in leadership and in a party that has to rule. I just hope that they all can come together with a reasonable solution that makes the Republicans stronger in the long run so that they can get the bills passed with the concept in mind that whose ox is going to be gored? One, is it going to be government as a whole in general, or is it going to be the people? And I would sooner have the government's ox gored than the people's ox gored.
Yeah, well said, well said.
And how are they going to... You know, how are they going to come together and resolve this? And I think you need to be fair with individuals and not diminish them. The only individual that I know in state history that was never given a committee assignment during a session was Representative Brady Wiseman out of Bozeman, because he was so visceral that in 2007, Speaker Sales didn't give him a committee. But that was for one individual.
Not blanket. Yeah, very interesting background and insight. Yeah, I appreciate you staying on the phone lines, John, because, yeah, you described that historical scenario way better than I could. I was trying to pull up some of those old articles because, yeah, it really was. I mean, it was described kind of like a coup by the Republicans, where the Republicans teamed up with, you know, Matthews out of Miles City, the Democrat, and basically effectively were able to get somewhat control over the legislature. But that's a slight, I mean, that's a similar story, but also different because, you know, it was a 50-50 split. So at some point, somebody needed to give, and it sounded like both sides did, just not the way the Missoula Democrats would have liked the outcome to be there. Whereas, you know, today, you could be, you know, seeing a coup where the Democrats team up with a handful of Republican state senators to try to get a you know, new leadership in place in the state Senate. If this continues, who knows, right? But, yeah, no, great insight. John Sinnard, thanks for staying on the phone lines. The other story that I wanted to talk about here is, here we go. It's only been 1 week of the Montana legislature, and our big prediction about the biased liberal media coming out of the Capitol Bureau is already coming true. It's already coming true. I was saying this months ago, and yet here it is. It's already coming true. I'll tell you about that here in just a second. But first, let's go to Rock in the middle of nowhere. Rock, thanks for sticking around. Thanks for your patience.
Hey, good morning, man.
Morning.
Hey, I wanted to talk, you know, change the subject here back to the L.A. fires.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the fire engines that were turned around in Sacramento because they weren't meeting their environmental standards? for emissions.
Oh, I hadn't heard about it. Where was that reported? My good. I mean, it doesn't surprise me. Where was that reported?
I heard it from a friend. I don't do a lot of stuff on the computer, but they had, you know, whether it's true or not, I wouldn't doubt it. You know, but these wildland fires, it's amazing in California. They don't allow prescribed burns, which we do here in Montana. I'm involved in that stuff when summer comes, you know, being a firefighter. And they don't allow that. But now everything's burning down. Well, take a look at a wildland fire and then take a look at a house fire and look at the smoke. That's all you got to do. And what's going up into the air now with all these houses burning down is way worse than any prescribed burn, but they won't do the prescribed burn, so there's plenty of fuel to go up. And they got some sagebrush out there that's amazing. And I've fought fires with sagebrush, and just the little ones, they burn really hot, and they keep burning, you know? And I don't know. I don't get it. It's like the environmentalists, like you said earlier, cause way more harm than they ever do good.
Yeah, and I don't know about the Sacramento story. I did a quick search on the X AI tool known as Grok, and there's at least based off of that, and unless somebody has a better story, because sometimes these AI platforms can be wrong, even if it's, you know, on the Elon Musk X platform. But they're saying, no, these Sacramento trucks went through safety inspections first. It wasn't because of emissions requirements. But your broader point is spot on. These environmental wackos will oppose everything, claim that they're helping the environment, claim that they're protecting clean air. And yet look at everything that is going up in smoke in Los Angeles when these things could be mitigated and in some cases prevented with some of the very same policies that they oppose. And so it's not just trees that are going up in smoke and brush that's going up in smoke. There's all sorts of toxic fumes and chemicals because of LA, because of everything burning in the Battle of Los Angeles.
Right. And you look at, you know, they talk about burning fossil fuels. Well, what are most carpets, couches, you name it, inside of a house that's made from fossil fuels? Plastic, all the plastics that are in houses.
The makeup that those Hollywood celebrities, the dresses that they're wearing on the red carpets of Hollywood, they would have none of that makeup. They would have none of those fancy ball gowns, no matter how slim and trim and missing in certain spots of the body they are. They wouldn't have any of that without fossil fuels. You know, it's just insane. All right, hey, Rock, thanks for the phone call. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970. Ed in Laurel, you're up after this, and then I'll mention the prediction that's already coming true with the liberal Capitol Bureau reporters covering the Capitol in Helena.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
During Potato Expo in Orlando last week, I sat down with agriculture policy expert Randy Russell of the Russell Group from Washington, D.C., and he shared what the dynamics may look like for passing a farm bill this year, especially with Republicans holding a thin majority in both chambers.
Well, Lane, first of all, I think we have to recognize, so John Bozeman from Arkansas is going to be the chairman, but we're going to have a new ranking member, Debbie Stabenow, retired from Michigan. And Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota will take over as the ranking member. And the types of agriculture that Senator Klobuchar has is vastly different than the focus that Senator Stabenow had. And I think it represents more corn, soybeans, obviously a potato state, got a lot of livestock. It's the number one turkey-producing state, very big dairy state. So it's a much more more traditional, what I would say, production agriculture state. Same thing over in the House. G.T. Thompson's chairman, but we have a new ranking member, Angie Craig from Minnesota, who is very interesting because her district has both significant rural counties but also suburban counties.
Randy Russell said that rural America expects a farm bill to be passed in 2025 after multiple years of delays. I'm Wayne Nordblond.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, if you're somebody who's tried to call in before and you were thinking about calling in and you're like, oh, man, the last time I called, the phone lines were all busy. I couldn't get through. I tried a bunch of times. Yeah, that'll happen. We love taking your phone calls. We love giving you the chance to be heard all across Montana. So oftentimes our phone lines are totally full. The moment we say goodbye and hang up on one caller, boom, somebody immediately calls in as that line pops open. If that's you, well, call in right now because we've got some lines available for you. 406-294-0970. Ed in Laurel next up on the phone lines, and then I'll talk about a couple other things I wanted to yap about here. Ed, you were wanting to respond to a couple of our previous callers talking about Trump, day one, gas prices, food prices, and more. What's your thoughts, Ed?
My thoughts are this. Look what Trump did in 4 years in office. Now, you have to realize, too, this caller that talked about all he wanted was low gas prices, that first of all, he better want a free country. I think first and foremost, we need to hit our borders. But Trump is going in. He's done more as a president-elect than Biden did in his whole 4 years. The Middle East already wants to, the radicals already want to have a sit down with Netanyahu. And he's not even in office yet. Trump is going to get things done. Biden shut down our oil production off the coast. He's going to reside that. He's going to take care of that. So there's so many other things to worry about. Yes, Aaron, I want lower prices. Absolutely, I do it in gas. But there's so many other things that they have destroyed, and they're still trying to destroy Trump coming into office. And that caller has to realize it's not totally up to Trump. It is most of it. But he's got to get through these rhino Republicans. And I hope the people that those Republicans are elected in, rhinos, that they'll get them out and get someone really in there that'll help the last 2 years. But, yeah, I believe Trump will do what he says he's going to do. He did it the first 4 years, and he's more prepared now. He's already talked to world leaders around the world. You know, the world is changing already.
Yeah, they're coming to him. I heard last night, I think it was, I heard the premier of Alberta, our friends to the north in Canada, the premier of Alberta went to Mar-a-Lago. World leaders are just flocking, and national leaders, business, they are flocking to Mar-a-Lago to hold court with President Donald J. Trump because they know that the guy is going to be a mover and shaker and going to get things done, and they want to be a part of it, or they don't want to, or they don't want to be under the bus either.
Right, absolutely, and I think the thing that your caller needs to be praying for Donald Trump. Not so much for gas prices, although I think they will go up, and I want them to, but pray that those rhinos will come in and help him pass these things. He can't do it on his own.
The Republican Senate is the key right now because first and foremost, he has to be able to get his team in place on day one. And I hear the Pete Hegseth nomination is moving forward, the confirmation hearing tomorrow. The Attorney General pick Pam Bondi, Florida AG. She's going forward the next day in a couple of committees. And so, yeah, there's a couple of those weak-kneed establishment Republicans, Lisa Murkowski, she's been a train wreck, and some others. But it sounds like even with some of those backstabbers like Murkowski in the Senate, Romney's out of there, thankfully, that some of these senators like Marshall and Bill Hagerty out of Tennessee are believing that they have the votes to get Trump, all of Trump's nominees, across the finish line. But that's where we the people come in line, come in there, because, you know, Joni Ernst started to waffle, and then we the people sounded off, especially on social media platforms like X, and she quickly said, oh, yeah, I'm pleased to support Pete Hegseth and all the rest of President Trump's nominees.
Right. Yeah, absolutely, Aaron. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. I could talk more, but I need to let other callers in. But, yeah, I just wanted to address that caller. Give a little time. He's going to do what he says he's going to do. He's already done those things already before he's president, so just hang in there for a little while.
Hey, Ed, you're so well-spoken. I got one thing I want to throw at you for your reaction, if you don't mind. Can you stick around for a second more here? Okay, I'm going to throw you on hold just so that you can hear the audio clip, because if I have you queued up on the phone, I don't know if you can hear this audio clip when I play it. So this is Joe Biden. He was asked, who knows what question he was asked, but listen to his response. I mean, the guy... What a dumpster fire, as J.D. Vance put it on Fox News Sunday, that he's leaving for this country and for the next administration. But listen to this guy talking trash.
Please, President, do you regret your decision to run for re-election?
I think I would have beaten Trump, could have beaten Trump, and I think that Kamala could have beaten Trump. But I didn't want to be one who caused a party that wasn't unified to lose an election.
Well, yeah, anyway, there you go. Ed, could you hear that? What's your reaction? My reaction is we can all use a good laugh every now and then, huh?
Yeah, poor guy, he's senile, and the American public knew that. Whether he stated or not, Trump would have beat either one of them. The public doesn't just dislike Kamala. They dislike Biden, and she's under Biden, and she did his, you know, she was the border czar. Really? She went there, I think, one time, Aaron, remind me if I'm wrong, but she went one time during the elections. Well, and she didn't even go.
And it's one thing for Joe Biden to sit back and say, I would have beat him, I could have beat him. Yeah, right. Woulda, coulda, but you didn't run. And the reason he didn't run is because his poll numbers were in the tank. And everybody knew that he was going to lose to Donald Trump. And Kamala could have beat him. Kamala did run against him, and she lost. But Joe was just lost in the sauce, per usual. All right, Ed, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. And you can call in right now. So the prediction, I was going to start the show with this, but we had all these great phone calls coming in. Here we are 45 minutes later. I'm just now getting to it. So the prediction, do you guys remember a few months ago? It was before the November elections. And remember, the Democrat senator from Montana at the time, he voted to allow men into women's bathrooms. He voted to allow men in girls' sports. He voted to allow men into your daughter's locker room. Do you remember, though, how the fake news rallied in defense of that Democrat senator from Montana at the time? Oh, come on. That was just a procedural vote. Oh, no, no. John didn't vote to allow men into women's bathrooms. And then there was one of these local TV stations. You read the rest of the story and you get about seven paragraphs in. And they actually report how, yes, he did vote to allow men into women's locker rooms. But. And I think I said it that very day. I said, you guys, you watch. You watch. The same type of outright shameful biased coverage that we were seeing in the U.S. Senate race here in Montana, where they will straight up lie to you or pivot things around. I said, you watch. I said, even if Tim Sheehy has a massive victory and Trump and everybody else, even if the Republicans have a resounding mandated victory on November 5th of 2024, you watch when the legislative session gets underway in Helena, Montana, in January of 2025. In the very same liberal mob media that's like, oh, no, 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 John Tester didn't vote to allow men into girls' bathrooms. You watch, because they know that the people of Montana don't support that kind of craziness. But I said, you watch when the legislative session gets underway. That same media that rallied around that Democrat senator with a bunch of fake news coverage, they will pile on with biased reporting covering the Montana legislature. They will prop up the radical transgender agenda with biased reporting. And here you go. The liberal Lee newspapers already did it. 5 days into the legislative session, they already did it. Where did I put the tweet? Here we go. It's right here. All right. So a liberal blogger shared the headline from the Helena IR. Last week, we had Representative Carrie Seekins Crow on the show. She's a real woman, not just a man that wants to go into the women's bathroom. And she has a bill to protect your daughters, to protect women, so that men aren't going into their bathrooms. Anyway, the headline that the Helena IR published was this: lawmakers hear first anti-trans bill of the 2025 legislative session. And anyway, Matthew Monforton, a former Bozeman area legislator, he said this: lawmakers hear first pro-woman bill of the 2025 legislative session. There, I fixed it for you. And again, just put, you know, putting a bow on this here. And some of you dudes think you want to wear bows in your hair and walk into the women's bathroom. Just to put a bow on this here, exactly what we said was going to happen. The same people that were like, that tried to downplay and lie about in the Montana media, a Democrat senator from Montana voting to allow men into women's bathrooms because they knew how unpopular it was. Here they are. Oh, how dare the Montana legislature pass a bill to protect women from having men invade their private safe space like a bathroom. And look, you don't have to be smart to make a prediction like that. Henceforth, why even I could make a prediction like that.
Go. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Brian and Bridger, stand by. We'll get to you here in a second as well. But first up, this may be a first-time caller onto the radio show. Great to hear from Shad in Laurel. Shad, great to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, good morning, Aaron. Happy Monday, and thanks for taking my phone call. I know you probably don't have a whole lot of time, so we'll keep it short and simple. Just wanted to discuss, you know, my opinions on, you know, President Trump coming back into office. I was part of the massive layoffs at the Stillwater Mine. And as a matter of fact, our last day was the day after Election Day. But, you know, instead of being all doom and gloom about my situation, the fact that I saw that Trump had been reelected, I was full of hope. I mean, it's a strange scenario, I'm sure, that you're out of a job, but yet you have hope, because I think that with Trump coming back into office, things are going to improve, things will get better. And the thought of just possible unemployment, you know, bent under a further Biden regime, it would just be an unacceptable idea. So it's, you know, it's definitely a situation that filled people with a lot of hope and ready for some positive change. And that's all I needed to say.
Man, that's incredible. What a message too, because look, Adam Schiff's gonna happen in life, right? There's gonna be good days, there's gonna be bad days. We're all gonna fall on tough times at different times. But you know, if you're gonna fall on tough times, hey, at least it's during what should be better times ahead, so there's more opportunity. Versus like, man, what if that happened and there wasn't this potential opportunity on the horizon, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, like I was saying, with the potential continuation of the Biden regime, I mean, I didn't think the future would be very bright if I'm out looking for jobs and people are having to have 3, 4, 5 jobs just to make ends meet. Themselves, I think the economy will turn around and things are going to open up and definitely improve.
Yeah, man, what a incredible message for people to hear across Montana right now, really across the country. Well, I recognize your voice as well, kind of like our earlier caller out of Kalispell. And do I remember right that you had to work the mine the day of the election day of 2020? And you're hearing the news, you're hearing the election results, Trump's looking good, Trump's got a massive lead. You go into your hole for the next several hours underground in your underground platinum and palladium mine, and you pop up and you see daylight, and what happened? All of a sudden, they're saying Joe Biden won the election, and quite the reversal now.
Yes, that's 100% correct, Aaron. I was working night shift on that rotation. So we check all of our phones because we're very pro-Trump. And at that point in time, he had a very healthy and happy lead. Looked very good. So we all went underground, very, very optimistic. And then, you know, 10 and a half hours later, we come above ground and finally get cell service again. We're like, what the heck happened? All these mystery votes suddenly flooded in, and the election was turned upside down. It was unbelievable.
It can all change in the blink of an eye. What seems like the blink of an eye, for good or for bad, that's for sure. Shad, great to hear from you. Great phone call. Thanks for calling into the show. You got to do that more often. I appreciate it. Great to hear from you, my friend. Brian in Bridger next up. Brian, what's on your mind this morning?
Oh, I just wanted to talk to you about some of the gender identity that the lawmakers are making us school board members and are... Schools teach our students. We have a Republican governor, Republican Senate, and a Republican House. We need to clean up these bills. Why is our taxpayer dollars funding teaching our kids gender identity? We have a policy, yes, that we can, the parents can exempt their students or their kids from taking these classes. But why are taxpayer dollars funding the teaching of gender identity?
Great point.
I'm a sheep and cattle rancher. You want to learn gender identity? Come out and help me work the animals.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, and you're on the local school board, so can you not stop that from being taught in your own schools there?
No, and that's what really frustrated me. We had a board training, it's called, where our attorney comes in, and I asked them, law is the law. We have to teach what the state requires us to teach in our schools. I have a policy here. I don't have the law or the bill number, but we need to clean this stuff up.
Yeah, I would get a hold of Susie Hedlund now at OPI, the new superintendent. I would talk with the Board of Public Ed, because that sounds to me like that it doesn't go in line with state law and with the legislature's intent. That sounds like the opposite. That sounds like the education bureaucracy is trying to shove this thing down your throats. And oftentimes those lawyers for these school board associations, others, you got to be very leery of those guys. Definitely get a second legal opinion, because, you know, some of those guys are using their positions as lawyers. And even sometimes county level attorneys, you just never know. I would get on the phone with your county commissioners, with the Board of Public Ed, with the Superintendent of Public Instruction, and say, hey, what do we do to stop this nonsense from happening? Because if they're telling you that, nope, this is state law, we have to teach this gender identity garbage to your kids, I think they're straight up lying to you. Because they want to push some sort of agenda, because they want to push this agenda on your kids. Hey, great phone call as well. Brian, thanks for calling in. Thanks for getting that one on our radar. Maybe there's more to the story that I haven't seen or heard yet. So be interesting to see if we get some more messages that come in following your phone call as well. All right. Thanks for being with us. Sorry we ran out of time.